I got yams in my mouth, but don't call me a ye mouth. Charlie Lee's in my head, but don't call me a Lee head. What's going on, BTC Joe, the audio development, Jeezy, number 20-something. We got a big one today. So, it's a bit windy out. Hopefully it doesn't get too bad. Yesterday we spoke about, you know, trying to attempt to create this token, which needs some form of consensus or a resolving of the double spending problem if it's not going to be a smart contract. And we sort of spoke about tackling the problem from a lightning type of perspective, with these different assurances that you have and how the risk is that the person sending you the transaction of clout could orphan their own block, which would be breaking the rules, but nonetheless, thinking adversarially, if they were to do it, you could get double spent, even though it's for small values. And anyway, you could re-listen to that one if you want. But today, it's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life. And we're feeling good. Today we're gonna look at things from this perspective of the colored coin approach, right? Or the colored clout approach. And it's possible I could be onto something here. So it's important to note that everything in life has some sort of a cost, right? And the same goes for consensus systems, right? So, if there's no token and you're just accepting Bitcoin, there's a transaction fee for that Bitcoin. If you're going to do a smart contract on an altcoin or Bitcoin, which handles the consensus for your token, there's still going to be transaction fees ultimately that, you know, when the state is changed on the base layer of the contract, you got to pay for that in some capacity. So, and even if you invent your own system, you know, it's taking up space, and like even just to do the TSN, right? Just for your public record of content, you gotta have a website. Point is, everything has some sort of a cost, right? I mean, even when you use convenience, when you use the old social media, you're paying for it with your data, which is a whole other conversation. But so, today we're going to talk about looking at the colored coin approach to things, and I think we really could be onto something here in building the world's motor, so to speak, right? So, and even if we're not, we're making progress towards this goal of how we're going to handle this financial aspect to the Truth Social Network. So, we've gotten a bit into mining, and as far as this conversation goes, the essence is, by uploading my blocks and taking a hash of them, let's not get into the potential difficulty and work there, by uploading my block and signing it, and, you know, making it redundant. That's the first part of mining. The second part is that you're pinging me that you've successfully mind to block. And then I'm acknowledging with my own signature and my own block that you've mined it. And that's what creates an issuance transaction. The issuance transaction is, of course, a TSN reference in my block, as I just mentioned. So regardless, that's your first input, right? That's your reward, Coinbase, the equivalent of the Coinbase reward in Bitcoin, so to speak, right? That's, no matter which way we go forward, that's the input to that's your issuance transaction and the input to the first transaction in a chain of any transactions. So let me lay down the first premise, right? Or idea. If you want to pay me, which is the whole idea of clout, after you've successfully mined my clout, then there's really no problem of consensus from that first issuance to sending it back to me, because I know that you own the clout and I am the recipient of it. So there's no problem of double spending there. The trickiness is when you start getting into any other transaction, okay? That's when the double spending problem comes into play. And that's why maybe there's no cost, and that's an incentive. There's no cost if you use that clout that you just mined to pay me for any type of thing. That's your incentive. It's free. There's no cost. You just pay me, and we don't have to worry about double spending. Now, again, the trickiness is with the consensus of any other type of transaction, right? Like if there's a market value to this clout token, okay? So what if we do things a bit differently? What if we take a colored coin approach and we let the Bitcoin blockchain or the Litecoin blockchain do what they were meant to do and handle consensus, right? Now we know Bitcoin and Litecoin and any other cryptocurrency transactions have a transaction fee, as we spoke about. There's always a cost, and that's okay. There's always some type of cost. So put that in your pocket for a second. How would we do this? How would we use the consensus of them for... How would we use the Bitcoin... Let's say... For now, let's say the Bitcoin blockchain to process the transactions of our own clout token. Now, this gets kind of cool. And it could work. It really could work. So now we're talking about any other scenario after having just been issued clout successfully, then you paying me, or you paying the clout holder. Any other scenario needs to solve the double spend problem. So that's what we're talking about now. So what you could do is you have your input to the transaction, which is my acknowledgement of you mining my clout, or the clout issuer's acknowledgement, however you want to phrase it, that reference, okay, is your input. And what you're going to do is you're going to actually form a real transaction on the Bitcoin blockchain using your TSN address. And you're going to include the TSN signature of that TSN reference, which acknowledged your successfully issued clout transaction. And you're going to embed that into a Bitcoin transaction or Litecoin, more likely Litecoin, but let's keep it simple for now. And so you see, after that point, And you're going to have to pay a transaction fee again for this transaction, right? A reminder. You're going to have to pay a fee. After that first transaction, which is can go wherever it wants to go, your clout now literally exists as an input transaction on the Bitcoin blockchain. And so anyone who owns this input owns your clout. Okay? It's a very special transaction. It's a colored Bitcoin transaction. So as this from then on throughout time, anyone who owns this transaction, which has the TSN reference, clout issuance, TSN signature embedded in the transaction for the rest of time, whoever owns this input owns my clout or the clout issuer's clout. Now, technologically, it works. It's kind of easy. Anyone who owns these inputs owns your clout, and that's all. Now the question, and where things get real, real interesting, is the further you examine the idea, is in the economics of it all. And so that's why, if this is going to work, it's actually going to be colored Litecoin transactions, because they're much cheaper and but the concept is the same. But let's explore and examine this idea. Again, every transaction on the Litecoin blockchain or the Bitcoin blockchain has a transaction cost. And transaction costs are based on how complex a transaction is. How complex a transaction is based on how many inputs there are into a transaction. The more inputs, the more bytes there are to the transaction in data, right? So the question becomes, would these colored clout coins become eventually valuable enough over time so that they were worth the transaction fees of moving them? And if it's without a colored coin, the answer, if it's just, you know, a really small input that's complex, eventually you can't move transaction, or you can move them, but this is called dust. When they become, it becomes more expensive to move them than the value of the transaction, right? Of the coin, I should say. So that is ignoring the fact that your clout token could accumulate value over time. If you were to propose that these things could have a non-zero value, it's possible that this could actually work. Now, let's go further in. Gets even more interesting. Let's talk some math. I know everyone hates math, but you gotta know a little bit of math, right, in life? So, at least some basic math. Let's talk about some TSN math. We spoke about how there's about 144 on average blocks of, there's 144 Bitcoin blocks on average per day, right? There's 10 minute blocks on average, so you times that by 6 per hour, and then you get 6 per hour times 24, and you get 144 blocks per day on average. So using this number of 144, we spoke about how we're going to try and put our TSN block size limit, block, excuse me, TSN block time limit at 144 Bitcoin blocks. So there'd be one TSN block per day on average. Really, it's going to be less than that, but different discussion. And we also spoke about how most likely we're going to try and incentivize through the TSN difficulty 144 issuance transactions per TSN block. Now, you see what we're doing is we're essentially modeling the Bitcoin supply schedule, right? And the rate of issuance by doing that. Now, we were saying that each issuance transaction represents 50 coins and it'd have the same asymptotic function as Bitcoin, and that's true, but I think we need a better way to think about things, right? And frame them. If we're proposing that every TSN Cloud issuance transaction is going to be a colored coin in the Litecoin blockchain, then what we really need to know, and what's more important, is how many issuance transactions are there in the lifespan of Bitcoin, right? That's the more important number, because forget about the abstraction. Like Satoshi could have chosen any other number besides 50 coins to start with per block, and the concept, the supply schedule is essentially the same. He had to choose a number, but so, especially for us, what's more important is the total number of issuance transactions in the lifespan of Bitcoin, because that's also the total number of issuance transactions in the lifespan of a TSN account or address, right? So how do we find that number? Well, you got to do a bit of math. I'm sorry, guys. So off the top of my head, the easiest way to figure out this would be to look at the Bitcoin halving, the number of blocks in each Bitcoin halving, right? So interval. Bitcoin, we say it halves every 4 years, but really it halves about every 210,000 blocks, something like that, if I remember correctly. Now, it's important to remember with Bitcoin, every block is an issuance transaction. So if you figure out the number of blocks in Bitcoin's lifespan where it's doing issuance transactions, you've solved the equation, right? So you know every 4 years there's 210,000 issuance transactions, or blocks, however you want to think about it. How many years are there in Bitcoin's supply schedule? Well, it started in 2009, and I believe the last Satoshi will be issued in 2140. So 2009 to 2140 gives you 131 years worth of issuance, right? Now, how many four-year intervals are there in this 131 years of issuance? Well, you can estimate that it's, 32.5, right? Let's do loose math, right? Going forward, let's just say 30 4 year intervals. So 30 4 year intervals times 210,000 will give us the amount of issuance transactions, okay? Little math trick. How do you do 30 times 210,000? Well, easy is 10 times 210,000. So you get 2.1 million, and then you times that by 3 to get to 30. So you get 6.3 million issuance transactions, about, right? So what does that number represent? Well, in Bitcoin and also in most likely the TSN, that means there's about 6.3 million issuance transactions or coins, you know, forget about the abstraction, right? Let's just call them coins in our, with the TSN, right? Each issuance transaction, think about it like a coin, because really each one is going to be an input in this proposed solution, right? Is going to be an input in the Bitcoin or Litecoin blockchain. So that's how you want to think about it, is how much could each one of those 6.3 million coins, for simplification, be worth? Could they be enough to justify the transaction fee of doing it this way? Now again, theory versus practice, right? In reality, think about the insane magnitude of speculation within the crypto space, especially during times of demand hype cycles, right? Think about some of the craziest ICO raises. Think about CryptoKitties. Think about DeFi Now. Think about what's capable for complete bullshit. And then consider that you actually have some use with these tokens, with the person who issued them, okay? Let's do some exotic thinking like we do with Bitcoin, where we say, you know, if Bitcoin continues to take over the world, which we all know it will, you know, it's going to eat up the entire money supply, and, you know, or you take the whole money supply divided by Bitcoin, and then you could say, well, the stock market, and you could say, well, the real estate market could have a pair against Bitcoin, and blah, 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 the gold market, blah, blah, blah. So let's do a similar type of parallel thinking with a TSN address and its clout, right? Just thinking if it could even be possible to justify such a system. Well, how long is a human life, right? Because, you know, that's how long you'd be able to use this clout with the person, whether it's they were requiring it for advertising, for their patrons, for, you know, development bounties, or, you know, clout chat, or whatever, or, you know, this consignment memes, or whatever far out thing you want to know. But let's just assume that this thing catches on and everyone starts using the TSN for social media, and then eventually everyone starts accepting their income in their own clout. Because if it does catch on and you have an account, why wouldn't you, right? And so, you know, it's interesting. What's like the length of a human life? Maybe it's 75, 80, 100 years if you're lucky now. But then take into account advancements in technology, and people will be able to be older and older as time, you can assume. So, you know, call it 130 years, right? For someone being born now, you know, maybe that's what Satoshi was really thinking, who knows, but, so, So you're going to be issuing your cloud for your life for 130 years, right? For argument's sake. And you're going to be accepting all of your income in your own cloud. And, you know, let's say, let's pretend the world is moving to, you know, pretend, right? The world is moving to digital money only world, and people are, you know, pretend there is some hypothetical virus that was forcing everyone to stay home and work from home more, and the world became more digital, and we were moving to all digital money and consensus systems, and, you know, hypothetically, right? So, what is the value, you know, present and future value of someone's income for their whole life? Say, you know, a more well-off person, right? Let's just give example. Let's back up for a sec, right? Let's also think about how much would it need to be worth to justify the transaction fees. Like, what are the transaction fees for moving an input on Litecoin today? I really have no fucking clue. I'm going to research that later. But for argument's sake, let's highball it. I mean, you know, obviously it increases and decreases in different cycles. Let's say $5 a transaction to highball it, to be conservative, which is probably ridiculous, but let's just say. So if you have 6.3 million of these cloud coins, which are like colored coins in the Litecoin blockchain, and you're assuming $5 transaction fees, it's like, could these things get to a value of more than $5 per coin, right? And I don't know. Let's think about it. So, you know, what is the value of your future income being accepted in this thing for the rest of your life? What does a well-off person make in their whole life? At $5 a fee, it would have to be more than $3 million in their whole life, right? Which again is probably highball, but in your whole life, for a well-off person, plenty of people make that. What's like $1 million? Making $1 million is not what it used to be, right? Like, you buy one house and that's it, and you know, it really ain't what it used to be with the degradation of the money supply and all that. So $1 million throughout your whole entire life accumulated present value, is that like someone who's rich? Not anymore, that's for sure. So $3 million is what it would need to be at $5 per input, right? And so who knows, guys? And then, speaking of the degradation of the money supply, that's today. What's that going to be in 5 years and in 10 years and so on? So if you're a millionaire, so to speak, today, what do we really mean when we call people that? Think you're really more talking about a balance sheet type of thing. And in this regard, we're talking about accumulated income over your entire life. So if you're a millionaire, how much do you make throughout your entire lifespan? You could be making, just a regular millionaire could make easily $10, $20 million accumulated throughout their entire life. In today's value of money, right? So then you add in the factor of how money's going to degrade over time and how we're at the end of this grand debt super cycle and like the end of the slow motion collapse of all fiat currency. And then you add in the fact of the speculative nature of everything in cryptocurrency, right? That's a big one, right? And again, these reward points for using are, like, they are actually useful with the person who issued them. They are useful to pay for all of their services, right? And so let's zoom back out again. So you would be paying for someone's any cloud-related services, assuming you're not the original miner of them, with these inputs. Whoever owns them would pay you for their services with them. Now, you could also accept Bitcoin. And so that's where things get interesting, right? How are you going to... Let's put on our decentralized central banker hats, or entrepreneurial hats, business owner hats, however you want to think about it. When you charge for services or to become a subscriber, a patron, whatever you want to phrase this stuff, right? I mean, there's obviously various different forms of how you make this income.